Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Happy Memorial Day to you all. You know, the day was originally given to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice and service to the country. And so that's a good thing to remember. And then it morphed into that plus remembering all of those that we have loved that have gone on into the next phase of being. And I propose to you that Memorial Day might be a good day to remember the work that Jesus did, because I propose to you that he might have been the first one to give his life in the line of duty so that others might live, right? So we'll remember all three of those as you go throughout your Memorial Day weekend. Remember those who've given their lives in service to this country. Remember your loved ones who have gone. And maybe most importantly, remember that Jesus done did a good work so that you could live. So remember that. Yes. It's been said by people smarter than me that we rarely need to be taught. We often need to be reminded. That's C.S. Lewis. Someone else much smarter than me, talking about the vision that God has given his church, he says vision leaks. We're leaky people, right? Is that true for you? I mean, you can be excited about a thing, and a week goes by, and you forget that which you once were excited about. And so on this Memorial Day, because we need to be reminded, because we are leaky people, I'm going to remind you about some things about this place that you call your church home. For some of you, you might have heard the following message multiple times. Here's what I say to you. Who cares, because we sing the same songs many times, right? You can hear the same teaching, right? So it's going to be okay. For those of you who've heard it many times and are forgetful, you're welcome. I'm going to remind you. And some of you are new to this place and have no idea about the origins of the name The River. And so you're going to find out as we move through the text today. We get the name The River from an Old Testament book. Anybody know the name of that book? Ezekiel. Anybody know what chapter it comes from? Who said 47? Wow, way to go. Is that Cato out there? Yeah. Ezekiel chapter 47 is where we get the name The River. So we're going to take a time out from the Gospel of John. Is that okay with you guys? We'll get back to John next week. Today we're going to be in the Old Testament, chapter 47 of the book of Ezekiel. Now what's happening before I jump into the text is the prophet Ezekiel is having a vision. Like, the angel of the Lord has come down and kind of taken him by the hand in this vision world. He's being shown all kinds of amazing things. And the angel now takes him to the very presence of God, to the temple. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, because of the work of Jesus, the presence of God resides in the hearts of his people. So therefore, we know that God's presence is in the room today, right? Did you know this? But back in the Old Testament days, before Jesus did his completion work on the cross and out of the empty tomb, before that all happened, the very presence of God was centered around the temple and the altar. You need to know that as we get to this text. Ezekiel 47. Where is the presence of God located in the Old Testament? Anybody? The temple. More particularly, in the temple where? At the altar. So Ezekiel says this, chapter 47. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water. What's the name of this church?
River.
I saw water. Somebody say, hmm. I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down under the south side of the temple, south side of the altar. So what we have here is the very beginning of this thing, which will become a mighty river. Spoiler alert, the river does some awesome things. We'll look at that in a few minutes. But before we get to what the river does, we have to see where the river originates. It originates in the temple on the south side of the altar. That is to say, this river that will become powerful and awesome has its origins in the very presence of God. Now here's the thing. They say you can't beat a dead horse. I don't know if that's true, because I've never really seen a dead horse. But I'm going to try to beat this horse till it's dead again and again. We exist for the sole purpose of our origins and our beings to flow from an intimate relationship with the King of Kings.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many times I've said it because I literally have lost track at 1,000 that we here at the River want everybody who hears the words being spoken from this pulpit to grow in proximity to Jesus. Jesus didn't come for us to have a distant relationship where we're fearful and scared of the Lord, but rather where we are in close relationship. So we're going to do this for the umpteenth time, and if you're tired of this, I'm not sorry. Amen. Get your right hand up in the air, and your right hand, who does your right hand represent? Now say it like you mean it. Come on, it's 10. You got to sleep in a little bit if you came to the night. Who does your right hand represent?
Me.
The answer is me. Who does your right hand represent?
Me.
The answer is God. Who does your left hand represent?
God.
The whole point of it all is this. But we forgot something. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? The whole point of it all of the River, you can keep clapping. I saw you up there in the balcony. That's okay. That's good. The whole point of it is to have our origins in intimacy with the King of Kings. The River, which will become powerful, we'll look at it in a minute, begins in the very presence of God. I know I've said this before, but I know vision leaks, and I know we're forgetful people. I know these things. I was reading in my devotions yesterday, I believe it was, from good old Oswald. Anybody read Oswald? Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest? It was either yesterday or Friday. He said, the concept of prayer is easy to understand. How hard could it be? You talk to God, you listen a little bit, you pray. Easy to understand, incredibly hard to do. And that's why I will take this Memorial Day weekend again and again and again to remind us that we are to begin our lives, our days, our weeks in the very presence of God. Because without a presence rooted, or without our being rooted in the presence of God, we're going to mess it up. I know I've said this before too, but let's go there anyway. How many of you want to be the best employee that you can be? The rest of you, I'm going to assume that you want to be a sucky employee, right? How many of you want to be the best employer that you can ever be? How many of you want to be the best friend for the people in your world? Yeah, the rest of you, you want to be a crappy friend? How many of you want to be, those of you who are parents, want to be the best parents that your kids are so blessed? Anybody want that? If you're married, you want to be the best spouse you can be? The best way to be any of those things is not to primarily work on those things. Don't work on those things as your number one focus. But wait a minute, I want to be the best whatever. Don't work at being the best whatever. The best way to be the best whatever it is you want to be the best at is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. The River begins coming out from underneath the temple. And then what happens? The temple, I'm going to paraphrase a little of the scripture here. The river as it leaves, it's a little river, and the angel measures off 1,000 cubits, which is a little bigger than a yard. He measures off 1,000 cubits, and the Bible tells us that the river then is about ankle deep. He measures off another 1,000 cubits, and now the river, now 2,000 cubits from its presence and its origin, is now knee deep. Woo. Have you ever walked across a knee deep rapids before? On one of my backpacking excursions up in Alaska, I was with Brian Fraser, who used to be our worship and executive pastor. We were up there, and we went to bed one night in Alaska, and it was 60 degrees and kind of balmy up there. We woke up the next morning with 3 inches of snow on our tents, and it was frigid cold. Unfortunately, to get to the place, we'd been in the backcountry for a week, and to get to the place where the bus would pick us up, we had to cross a 40-foot-wide river that was only, knee-deep. So here we are in our shorts with our backpacks on, stepped into the river while the snow was coming down, and we realized that only knee-deep was incredibly dangerous. It went from only knee-deep to, oh, crap. It was scary. There was one point in time where the river was pushing against us so hard that I simply had to sit down, otherwise I would have fallen down. So when you're sitting in knee-deep water, it's about shoulder-deep water. And it was snowing. Knee-deep water, when it's moving fast, has power to it. Back to the text. So he measures off 2,000 cubits, it's knee-deep. Then he measures off another 1,000, the angel does, and the water is now waist-deep. And then he measures off another chunk of cubits, another 1,000. So we're now 4,000 feet from the beginning of the river. And the river, Ezekiel says, it's now too deep to pass. It had become too strong. It was powerful. Powerful. See, here's the thing. The river of God in the book of Ezekiel, where we derive our name from, becomes a powerful force as it leaves the presence of the temple building. You see, the river was never meant to stay in the temple. Can you imagine the river would have been like had it just like made a circle around the temple building? The river would have gotten dizzy itself. It'd have been like at Great Wolf Lodge, the Lazy River. Anybody seen the Lazy River? I mean, you can only ride that thing one time, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is boring. There ain't no power, and you can stand up in that, and there is no power. The river of God that's described in Ezekiel, the further it gets from the building, it has power to change the world. It has to have its origins in the presence of God, but it was never meant to simply stay in the house of God, looking around the house of the God, saying, oh, nice decorations. It was never meant to be a place where you just simply just look around and say, look at us. The river, and now I'm talking about this river, is you. And we were never meant to simply stay in the presence of God, worshiping wonderful songs, singing kumbaya, which I don't know why we say that because we've never sang kumbaya. And looking at one another saying, man, it's good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. But if we think that this is the game, we've missed the point because this is not the game. What is it, friends? This is halftime. We've got to have our connection at the presence of the Lord, and we've got to leave the building so that we can become strong and powerful. Amen. You know, we've said so many times, if you got a pulse, you have issues. We've said less times, but maybe more importantly, if you have a pulse, you also have a
purpose.
Your purpose, friends, begins as you grow closer to God and as you leave with your faith and the presence of God in you, and you go out into the world.
Amen.
And so, we have this My Church, My Serve stuff going out there. We got this mild ministry fair every day. I see somebody looking at a booth right now. That's awesome. Don't look at her. We have the whole My Church, My Serve, not for our sake, so that we can say, yes, somebody filled a need. We do have some needs. But the whole My Church, My Serve is for your sake, because what it enables you to do, it enables you to leave the walls of the sanctuary and enact your faith so that you can become a powerful piece of the river making impact on planet Earth. So again, I'm going to tell you, for your sake, if you want to grow, go check it out. All right. You see, only after intimacy can you enact mercy. It's intimacy first, and then mercy second. And I think I've said this before, but it's been a while, so it bears repeating. Now, if you're new to the river, if you're checking this place out, if you've got church wounds, consider yourself normal. A lot of us do. Heal up a little bit. If you're still in the healing phase, if you're still trying to have the Lord like just bring healing for whatever reason, or if you're new, the following is not for you. But if you've been here for any length of time, and you've been actively sitting every Sunday morning, and you've not been enacting the vision that the Lord has given us to be a powerful river on planet Earth, maybe it's time for you to shake the dust off, get up and get involved either with one of the My Church, My Serve options or somewhere in your world, because God didn't create you to be a statue pointing to the King of Kings. He created you to be an active presence bringing the kingdom of God with you. So I've said this before, too, and it hurt some people's feelings. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. Turn to your neighbor and say, he doesn't mean to hurt your feelings. Turn to yourself and say, he means to encourage you. If you would rather simply sit and call that your faith excursion, and I'm not talking if you're new to the faith or if you're needing healing, but if you've been here for a long time and you would rather simply sit and not have an active role in the work of this ministry, maybe there's another church for you. Because God has called this church to be an impactful place that changes Kalamazoo. And so maybe that bit of encouragement is enough to, in a friendly way, kick yourself in the bottom and say, get busy with your faith. Because the river that we're named after gets power when it brings the presence of God with it well beyond the walls of a sanctuary. So, Ezekiel says this, "When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea.'" Has anybody in the room ever swam or swum? What's the past tense of swimmed? Has anyone ever swam, swum, or swimmed in the Dead Sea? The king? I have. Oh, you have? Oh, yeah, just recently, right? So Christy and I went to Israel a while back, and we were in the Dead Sea, and I was with, Christy was off, they had this like enriched mud there with all kinds of minerals, so all these ladies were putting mud all over themselves. Ugh, there don't want any mud on me. So what I was doing instead is with about three other guys, Rod Tucker being one of them who used to work here, we were trying to dunk each other in the water. You couldn't do it. I was floating in the Dead Sea, funny image I know, with three guys laying on top of my chest trying to get me to go under the water. They couldn't do it. Because the Dead Sea is so rich in minerals that your buoyancy is just off the charts. Now, it's kind of fun when you're messing around with some friends, but if you're a fish trying to find a place to live, that ain't a good place to live. Do you know why they call it the Dead Sea? Because nothing can live there. Bald men don't sink, and fish don't live in the Dead Sea. It's one of the lowest points on planet Earth, and everything mineral-wise just flows on in, and there ain't no life. Somebody say, no life. There ain't no life into the Dead Sea there. So this river, according to Ezekiel, it flows down into the Dead Sea. And when the river, the Bible says, when it empties into the sea, what sea are we talking here?
Dead Sea.
Is there anything living in the Dead Sea?
No.
When it enters into the sea of death, where there ain't no life, the salty water there becomes fresh. So follow this. We have a river that begins in the very presence of God, but it doesn't stay in the walls of a temple. It brings the presence of God outside of the temple, and the farther it gets from the comfy confines of a temple building, it becomes powerful. And when the river goes to the place of death, it brings life and freshness where there once was only death. This is your vision for your faith. And so I remember, again, I don't get a ton of emails of people being mad at me. I got a couple when I gently reminded folks here because maybe another church would be better for them because they're collecting dust. That got me an email or two. And then I did a sermon series years ago. I've referenced it before. And the sermon series, anybody know what I'm talking about? Say it if you know it. Say it again. Why are you all swearing in church? The sermon series is titled, Where the Hell? Somebody say, Where the Hell? And the concept of that series is where there is hell on earth, go there because that's where Jesus went. You know, many of us, like church people, people who do what I do for a living, we like to keep things tidy and neat. But that's not the way Jesus did it. It's not the way this river did it. The river and Jesus went to the messy places on planet earth and brought life where there was a mess. Now, 12 of you are clapping. I'm wondering if the rest of you are not clapping because that might have implications for you that is a bit daunting. I want to affirm you, though, don't be daunted. The fact that you're a part of this church is awesome because we're at a place where many people would avoid just geographically in Kalamazoo. So the fact that you're here is the fact that you're doing this. You're going where there's hell on earth. There are very few communities in Kalamazoo, worshiping communities, that provide a place for anyone to worship, like anyone to worship. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day, and I was describing some of the disruptions we have in church on Sunday morning. Have you ever noticed we occasionally have disruptions during the Sunday morning? It's because we're going to places where there's mental illness, where there's abuse, where there's addiction, and it's exactly where God would have us be. So the question, where the hell, is really a question that we each need to answer. Where is there hell in our world? We need to go there and do what the river did, bring life where there was only death. I want to tell you something about you. You are a life giver. You were meant to restore that which has been taken. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament book named Joel. Anybody know who wrote the book of Joel? Yep, Joel wrote the book of Joel. Joel's talking to the Israelites, and he's giving promises that the Lord had given him to give to the people. The Israelites had been living in a season of lack, a season of famine, a season of oppression, and he says, the Lord will. He doesn't say the Lord might, I don't know. He says, the Lord will. Somebody say, will. The Lord will restore the years the locusts have eaten. There once was famine, there once was drought, there once was lack, there once was shortage. There will be a time when the Lord enters in and brings restoration to all that which was broken, lost, and taken. And what I'm telling you as a part of this thing called the river, you're to be the agents of restoration here in Kalamazoo and on planet Earth. I think I'm a bit more excited about that than you are. I mean, think about it. You've been given a pulse because you have a... And there are people in your world who are living, but who are dead. They need you to bring life, and you get to be the ones who restore life where there's death. How fun to be a part of the river that brings life to where there's dead places. And so what you do is more than what you do. What you do is more than, you're not just doing the thing that you do for a living. You're bringing God's kingdom to that arena of life where you're at. So bring the kingdom of God with you wherever you go. And maybe as you leave today, just check out the booths on the My Church, My Serve tables and see where God would have you give and serve. Maybe you need to partner with the Hope Project and bring life to Maple Street Middle School. Maybe you need to partner with our Overflow Ministry, which brings life to our homeless community. Maybe you need to partner with the counting team, right? Because ministry costs money, and if that money don't get counted, guess what? Ministry doesn't happen. Did you know that counting could be an outward ministry? I see nobody excited about that one. Did you know that being a part of the welcome and greeting team is an outward-focused ministry because God created the church to be the hub that he uses to change the world? Maybe you need to get involved with one of these. Maybe, did you know that we have a security team and we have needed it regularly and they're often working and you don't even see them? Thank God for that. Yeah, thank God for the clap for them. Maybe as you leave here, the vision of you being a part of a river that brings life where there's death will inspire you to look around the My Church, My Serve, and just see what happens. Now, here's my most famous redundancy in the world. Redundancy, that is to repeat something when it has already been said. To repeat that which has been said, it's a redundancy. Often in communication, a redundancy is done to kind of make a point. And so the Bible says this. This is it. It says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. It's more of the same thing here. Swarms, that tells us there's going to be a large number of things, right? I think God's kingdom, I don't think, the Bible tells us, God's kingdom is supposed to be growing and advancing. And if the kingdom of God isn't growing in Kalamazoo, there's something wrong with what we're doing as his children. It needs to grow and it needs to expand. This place, as a part of God's kingdom, has to expand. There needs to be a day when one service in the summer, there ain't no way that's big enough for what God is doing through this part of the river. And your world needs to be a part of the production to expand, because wherever the river goes, swarms. Somebody say swarms. Swarms. Here comes the redundancy. Living creatures. What kind of creatures?
Living.
Swarms of living creatures will, what does the Bible say? Live. It says swarms of living creatures will live. Huh. Well, if they're living, why do they need to live again? Swarms of living creatures will live. It's kind of like, duh, what's he talking about here? Here's what I believe he's talking about. You can have a pulse. You can be breathing. Your mind can be working. You can biologically be alive and yet be dead on the inside. And if you've ever been stuck in a broken relationship, if you've ever had the dark clouds of depression haunt you, if you've ever lived in addiction, you know what it is to be alive but not really be alive. And I'm telling you this, Jesus, who's behind the vision that Ezekiel gets, he's the one who wants to bring life where there is death. He wants to bring life to those who are kind of living but not really living. And Jesus, it's a foreshadowing of what Jesus would say in John chapter 10, verse 10. We looked at this a bit ago. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it just okay till you die and move on. Oh, wait a minute, that's not what it says. Here's what it says. Hang on, let me get it in my head. Okay, I got it. I've come that you might have life, Jesus says, and have it just kind of survival-ish, kind of just get there. Yeah, somebody say, I can't wait to die and have a better life. That's not it. Here's it. I've come that you might have life, just the life that doesn't really suck. That's not it. You know what Jesus actually said? He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. And so when Ezekiel says swarms of living creatures will live, he's talking in a foreshadowing way of what Jesus said, that Jesus wants us to fully live. And if you've been here any length of time, you know that depression has haunted me on and off over the years. I know what it is to be alive and not be living. God wants you to find freedom in Jesus. He wants your death to actually turn into life so that you can fully live. Amen. Yeah, can you clap for that? There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. It's a cute baby, by the way. I want to make sure you've heard what I've said. I've said a lot. You're the ones who are to bring the life. Who's to bring the life? Yeah, you are. You are the ones to bring the life where there is death. It's not the professional church people's job. It's our job to kind of inspire, to coach, and to give opportunity. It's your job to be the river that brings life where there's death. Well, I'm homeless. Who cares? Well, I'm a middle school student. Who cares? I'm too short. I'm too tall. Who cares? You're the ones that God wants to use to bring life where there's death. You are the ones. You know, I quoted before a guy named Chris Vallotton. He would talk about what the Apostle Peter would say in his book. What's his book titled? He wrote two of them. Anybody know what Peter's book's called? 1 Peter and 2 Peter. In one of those books, he talks about everyone who's a believer in Jesus is a priest. He talks about the priesthood of all believers. And if you've been here for a while, you've heard me quote Chris Vallotton. He would say, you're all priests with a mission from the king. You're all priests. He said, you might suck at it, but you are a priest. I think I've reached my allowance of the word suck today in the sermon. So no more. Christy's in the nursery. If she was in here, I'd have reached it about an hour ago. He would say, you might stink at it or stinketh at it, but you're a priest. And I remember quoting that a couple times, and it didn't sit well in my stomach. And so I kind of morphed his quote, talking about priesthood. I would say this, something similar to what Chris Vallotton would say. You are all priests. You might be unpracticed and green, but you are a priest given a priestly role to bring life where there's death. And I don't think you stink at it. I just think you might not have enacted that which you've been given. Maybe today's the day that you shake it off and you begin practicing that which the Lord has called you to enact as a priest of the King of Kings. Y'all tracking?
Yes.
All right. You're just unpracticed. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Englaim, and there will be places for spreading the nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Fishermen, you know Jesus said something when he called his first disciples. What did he call them? He says, I will make you what?
Fishers.
Yeah, fishers of men and women. This is a precursor to what Jesus would say. The whole concept around the river where there's fishermen casting their nets. It's exactly what Jesus gave his first disciples and thus us. We are to be called fishers of people, right? And I like this. It says, many kinds. There'll be fish of many kinds. You know what that tells me? That church needs to be a place of ever-growing diversity. Right? We have a lot of diversity here socioeconomically and where we're at, right? We have some of the poorest of the poor and some of those who aren't the poorest of the poor. But I think that maybe a glaring weakness of what we have at the river is a lack of racial diversity. I know we have political diversity because I've heard some of your Facebook posts. And so it's good that this is a place of diversity because we don't have to be the same to experience the blessings of the King of Kings. In fact, I think we might have to be different to get the fullness of God's blessings that he has for us as we live out the kingdom on planet Earth. And so I wonder yet again, how are you going to play a part in bringing the many different kinds of fish and bringing life to them? What are you going to do? Fruit trees, the Bible says. of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit. You were meant to bear fruit, people, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. The last word of our text, the last word of verse 12, Ezekiel 47, is the word healing. You know, we talked at the beginning that the river has its source, its beginning in the presence of God. God wants us to be like this so that he can bring healing to the inner man and the inner woman. God doesn't want you to stay stuck where you're at. Maybe you need to hear that same thing this way. Where you're at today is not where you'll be tomorrow. The issues you wrestle with today will be the issues you look back on in victory tomorrow. Because the King of Kings wants you to have healing. And this is the place where that healing begins. And these are the people who are to be a part of your healing. Healing. So I referenced last week that Brad and I, a couple weeks ago, went to a gathering of local pastors. And they had a few of us stand up for 2 minutes to just share some of the struggles. You know, and one was talking about shame, and one was talking about, you know, tired and exhaustion. They had heard of my former porn addiction, so on the screen it said Rob Lust. So I was the guy connected to Lust. Wow, felt so honored. And as I was sharing just a brief bit of my story of my descent into that addiction so many years ago, I actually was sharing with them, you know, the point isn't pornography. The point was pain. And it's not just pornography that some of you wrestle with either. Some of you wrestle with pornography. Some of you have addiction. Some of you are avoidant of all people and all emotions. Your issues aren't the point. Did you hear that? Let me say that. Your issues aren't even the problem. To be sure, the thing you wrestle with, your addiction, your stupidity, your whatever, your sin, it's problematic, but it ain't the problem. And what we've done in the church is we've seen things in a person's life and we've said, that, we'll call it fruit. That's good churchy language, right? That fruit is unhealthy. That addiction isn't good. You know what? Just try harder. Has anyone ever just tried harder to not be depressed before? Has anyone ever just tried harder not to be addicted to that thing before? And so what we do in the church world is we make a community of fruit pickers. I don't like that fruit. Pick it, throw it away. Pick it, throw it away. Every October, our family for about 20-some years has gone to Crane's apple orchards. And at the end of the year, there ain't no more apples on the tree. They're all picked. Jake and I, who's now 21, when he was about 8, he and I got in trouble because we were throwing mushy apples at trees, and it was awesome. They were splattering. This woman came over and said, stop it, you're abusing the fruit. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. At Crane's, the fruit at the end of the season is gone because it's all picked. But you know what happens the next year? That fruit comes back. You're not going to get rid of the fruit by picking the fruit. You got to get rid of the fruit by digging up the root. And this is the healing word that concludes the message on the river. Jesus wants to bring healing. He wants to dig up the hurt and the pain-filled roots that bring stupid fruit. It's not about the fruit. It's about the root. And the river is to be a place of healing where roots are dug up, where pains are mended, where the years the locusts have eaten have been fully restored because Jesus has done his work. Yeah. All of us have needs. You know, when you pursue an addiction, when you pursue an affair, when you pursue overworking, whenever you pursue that thing, you have a right need on the inside, a need for recognition, a need for wholeness, a need to feel joy. But you're taking a right need to the wrong well. The right well is intimacy with the King of Kings and to live in his river where it can wash over you and bring healing. Healing. So some of you haven't really enacted your faith because you haven't walked out fully into your healing, and it's maybe because you haven't admitted that you've got issues. That's why we've said from day one that if you got a pulse, you got issues. It's okay to admit you have issues. In the admitting of issues comes the freedom and deliverance from them. It's time to stop picking fruit and dig up the root. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Now, let me say this, and then I'm done. And I mean it, right? Have you ever been a part of a preaching where the guy says, I'm in conclusion, but he says that six times? This is my only final word. You are the river. You are the river. You are the river. You're the river, and wherever the river flows, wherever you go, wherever the river flows, swarms of living creatures will live.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.